Well, I gotta tell you, it's not fair. I mean, it's not fair. I was the one who was supposed to be made the bishop, not that other guy, okay? I was more qualified, okay? But you know, sometimes it's just not fair. That's all I can say. Or, well, I'll take this guy back here for an example. I'll bet you sometimes your little brothers cause trouble, but you get blamed for it. Am I right? Nod your head. Yeah, you. You're the one, yeah. Yeah, do they ever get in trouble and you get blamed for it? It ain't fair, is it? It's not fair things happen that way. We would have won the game. Honestly, we would have won the game, except the refs were biased against our team. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Or, well, I wrote the best proposal for our company. It would make us a lot of money, but who got the job? The boss's son-in-law. It's not fair. It's just plain not fair. How many of you out there agree with me that life isn't fair? Raise your hands. Yeah, it's not fair. Did you raise your hand over there? I didn't see you. You who get blamed for your brothers. Yeah, that's you. Is life fair? Okay, thank you. See, I spent 11 years of my life in the central city of Milwaukee, where I'm very used to the congregation participating a lot in the homily, so I like it when you talk back. Here's another question for you parents. How many of you parents ever had a conversation with your kids about life's not fair? Yeah, pretty common, isn't it? Well, I wonder, is life fair or not? You know, maybe the problem is that we set up to decide what is fair and what isn't fair, and then when it doesn't go our way, we say, it's not fair. Now, in today's gospel, we've got a dishonest employee who's been cheating and somehow doing something with the master's money, and he's going to get fired. But then he thinks of a way to kind of maybe get himself in good graces with somebody by calling in the guy's debtors and saying, okay, I'll give you a discount. And this is what's kind of goofy. First of all, is that fair? Come on, answer back. Okay, it's not fair. It wasn't even honest. But in that gospel, which is kind of like a parable, Jesus says that the guy who cheats is commended for being ingenious. I mean, even though he's about to get fired, he gets rewarded because he does figure out a way to kind of help himself out of the problem. Well, a lot of people, when they listen to this gospel, they get kind of mad because the whole thing doesn't sound fair. It just isn't fair. It's like a lot of things that happen to us in life. It's not fair. Well, we've got to think a little bit about how Jesus has taught us. Now, this gospel is one example where he teaches us that something that to us doesn't appear fair may not be the worst thing. Or sometimes Jesus says, remember this one? The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Does that sound fair? No, it doesn't sound fair at all. Or sometimes Jesus says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. Trying to remind us that, you know, the way that he works, the way that God works in our world, is not always the way that we expect or what we think is fair. Well, that's a good message for us to think about. How God works in the world is not always the way that we would tell God how to do it. We, of course, know better. I know that. But anyway, God works differently than than what we expect or what we think is fair. We sometimes have a saying in our culture. The saying is, God writes straight with crooked lines. How many of you have ever heard the saying, God writes straight with crooked lines? Very good. Okay. Well, I think it's true. And I think it's a variation on our theme today that, you know, God doesn't always work the way we think everything ought to work. And sometimes God works in mysterious ways that we don't understand. Maybe he don't seem fair to us. Or maybe he works through people that we just wouldn't expect him to work through. But if God chooses to work through somebody, even if it's one of those crooked lines, that's how God chooses to do it. Now, would you like to hear a story about how God works straight with crooked lines? Yes. Oh, good. Now you're getting better. Good. Okay. Well, the story takes place in one of my other parishes, which was a much smaller parish than here, just about this big, okay? And one Sunday morning, we were celebrating the sacrament of the anointing of the sick during Sunday Mass. And so what we did was we had the people who wanted to be anointed to sit in the front rows like this, and then the regular people sat behind them, okay? So let's say, for example, this lady in the blue shirt here was one of the people to be anointed, and you in the red shirt there were right behind him, okay? Now, during the anointing of the sick prayer, one of the really things that I like about that prayer is because there's a point in the prayer where it says, we, not me, we pray for this person. We anoint them. It's a good reminder that sacraments are always in the plural and that it's never just me and Jesus or me and the priest. So at that point in the ceremony where it talked about we pray for this person, one of the gestures is that I, as the priest, lay my hands on them. Fine. But I invited the people in the congregation to join with me. So if you were sitting anywhere in the congregation, I invited you to extend your hands over the people who were going to be anointed. And if you were sitting in the second row, like you in the red shirt, your job was to actually reach forward and touch the person in front of you on the shoulder. So you can do it if you want. You want to practice? You don't want to. Okay. Oh, God writes straight with crooked lines, okay? Just kidding. Anyway, so the person in the second pew would put their hand on the shoulder of the person who was being anointed, okay? Got that so far? Okay. Well, so we went through the anointing of the sick. Everything went beautiful. Fine. A couple days later, a guy rang my doorbell and came in and introduced himself that he was actually from the neighboring parish. But he had heard that we were having anointing of the sick, so he came to our Mass. He said, Father, I've come to the Mass because I was facing serious eye surgery, and I was really scared. And he said, what happened was this week, I went to my ophthalmologist for the pre-op physical before the surgery, you know what that's like. And the ophthalmologist said to me, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. This man had experienced a miracle in our church. And through that anointing of the sick, his eye problem was gone. He did not need to have surgery anymore. He was totally healed. Wow. So I began to think about that. And I said to him, now, where were you sitting for this thing? I don't remember exactly where you were. He said, well, I was right in that seat right there at the end of the aisle in the center. Okay. And then I thought, now, who was behind him? And then it dawned on me that the person sitting behind this guy who had a miracle was a 16-year-old boy from the parish. Now, this kid was no angel. Let me tell you, the best word to describe him was that he was a hellion. All the cops knew him. He had gotten picked up for speeding and all sorts of stuff, you know. He was just one of those kids who constantly got in trouble for a while. Well, the only reason he came to Mass on this particular Sunday was that he wanted to play on our parish basketball team. And my rule was, if you wanted to play on the parish basketball team, you had to come to Mass on Sunday. So the only reason he was in church was because he wanted to play on the basketball team. Well, this friend who had the healing said, you know, during the prayers, I felt someone's hand on my shoulder. And I realized that the hand that was on his shoulder was the one of this 16-year-old boy, the Helgen. So I wonder to this day, you know, that miracle that took place, how much of it was due to the prayers of that kid, the 16-year-old, with his hand on the shoulder of the guy with the serious eye problem. Did God write straight with crooked lines? I think so. I really, really do. So we don't know how God's going to work. We don't know all of God's plan. Sometimes it doesn't fit into what we think our plan should be. But sometimes God is writing straight with crooked lines.